Greetings and salutations in a victory formation is what we are today. My name is Jake Query. That is Derek Schultz. This is the incredibly creatively and appropriately named Query and Schultz program here on ISC Sports Network. And Derek, hallelujah once again, Colts victory edition of the show.
Today feels weird because they've actually played twice since we last did the show.
Yeah, but
that Ravens loss feels like it was 3 months ago, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. No, it's great. Raise the V for victory. There is nothing better than getting a home divisional game when you desperately need a win. And that's what the Colts got.
Look, the Colts put themselves in position, Derek. This is very elementary to say, I realize. But they put themselves in position, getting off to the 1-4 start now, of the point where they have to win every game they're supposed to win. There is no margin for error. Mm-hmm. This is one that seemingly it's very difficult to tell how good they are. You know, week to week it changes, I realize. But it's difficult to tell how much you make out of that game because Houston is really not very good. But there were a lot of things, I think, that were positives yesterday, regardless of who the opponent was.
Yeah, we saw some things in some areas where they excelled that they want to excel in, right? They want to be a running team. Now, you wouldn't have known that in the first three quarters or so because I think at one point they had like six carries for like 10 yards, and then Jonathan Taylor breaks the big whatever it was, 83-yarder. And by the way, the longest run in Colts history. Can you believe that? They've been around forever.
Really?
Yeah, 83 yards is the longest run. I think Donald Brown had an 80-yarder, and somebody else had a long one in like 1960.
Between
or something
Dickerson
like that.
And Falk and Edge,
yeah,
you would
right.
Have thought,
I mean, it's right. It's an unbelievable stable of running backs that they've had. But anyway, they really got that going running game wise, and the defense ball hawking, forcing turnovers. They really should have had four, because I thought the Kwity Paye play that looked like an interception to me. But they ended up with three, and they were plus three in that category. So I think you saw a little bit of who the Colts want to be on Sunday. The problem is that Houston, really for all intents and purposes, if they're not the 31st best team in the league, they're dead last. They're terrible.
I think it's intent and purposes, right?
Intents and purposes.
But I think
it's not
phrase,
intensive purposes.
Yeah, but I think the phrase is for all intent and purposes.
No, it's intents and purposes.
But wouldn't intents be intentions?
Yes.
So wouldn't you say for all intentions and purposes?
No.
I'm pretty certain it's just
I think
intent.
It comes from Britain, and they shorten some
But things. I think it's the – I think people like the dichotomy there of the singular, intent,
yeah,
and then purposes, plural. So it's all-encompassing.
You're wrong, so we can get that out of the way. We're like, what, two minutes in the show? Are we even 2 minutes in? 1:45, says Jordan. So we're 1:45 into the show, and you're already wrong. But, yeah, okay. It's intents and purposes.
Okay.
But just make sure that you don't say intensive purposes, because that would be problematic.
Look, let's get to some of the obvious positives. First off, T.Y. Hilton. I had said, Derek, going into the game, had a pretty strong feeling, as everybody did, that T.Y. Hilton was going to play. And you knew if he was going to play, I think sometimes, you know, you think like somebody comes back and they have just kind of this energy, this adrenaline coming off of the injury and the first time in five games, you know, he's out for five games and he comes in and he's going up against a team that he's had in his career, you know what, some 1,700 yards and 11 touchdowns against them and just been dynamic against the Texans. So my thought process was, I'll bet he's going to have a big game against Houston. The question is whether or not that's going to be sustained. And in fact, he did have the big game, T.Y. Hilton, against the Texans. Still waiting to see if there is any sort of an effect in terms of injury on him. But do you anticipate that, especially now with Paris Campbell possibly being out, did we get a tease from T.Y. Hilton, or is this enough fuel that can be weekly still in the tank?
No, I still think that, look, is he going to be a 1,300-yard receiver? No, he's not going to do that. I don't think he's going to be the 2013 to 2018 T.Y. Hilton, but I think he could still be productive. What I'm so intrigued by, and really what I'm so encouraged by with Hilton's performance and just the offense in general, was their ability to get big chunk pass plays.
Right.
Because say what you want about Carson Wentz, and we've kind of gone back and forth, and Jake and I have differed in ways on how we evaluate Carson Wentz. But one area where I'm very bullish on him is his ability to throw the deep ball,
right,
and take those shots and be confident in taking those shots. And we saw it with a 51-yarder to Campbell and a 52-yarder to Hilton. He had 11 completions for how many yards did he end up with? 223. You know, that's 20-plus. I wasn't a math major at IU. That's 20-plus yards per completion. So if you can get Hilton involved that way, I still think that he has his fastball. I think the days of him, you know, regularly punishing teams, you know, seven catches for, you know, the thing about Hilton is that he just have these huge games, like eight catches, 180 yards, two touchdowns. You know what I mean? Like, he was never like a six catch, 60 yard guy every single week, that type of receiver. But I still think that his fastball can be there.
Now, you know, first off, I think Carson Wentz is pretty good. I do. And I think that when he has his mobility, he can be a very dangerous quarterback. A lot of Carson Wentz's effectiveness is based on the fact that, Derek, we are seeing, I think, the possibility that we're seeing here, the rise of one of the top running backs in the National Football League. I think Jonathan Taylor is just, this is, you know, he got off to a slow start in his career. And, of course, if you remember early on, it was like, wait a minute. This was a second-round pick. Like, is this Trent Richardson all over again? And then once he kind of figured it out, you know, you are seeing the Jonathan Taylor that just salted away games for the Badgers in Wisconsin. And it's a dangerous weapon for the Colts. I mean, I think, you know.
He's a home run hitter. I mean, he's Dave Parker. Whenever he touches the ball, you're just
Dave
like,
Parker,
watch
nice.
Out.
Speaking of which, we're on episode what?
57.
He was 39, right, Dave Parker?
I'm thinking another baseball player that's way more my generation than your generation. But he holds a distinct title, a very embarrassing streak, a really random embarrassing streak for a baseball team ended because of this person. Not streak, a drought. This had never happened to this franchise, and everyone knew that it had never happened to this franchise. And then he did it, and now officially it's happened.
A no-hitter?
Yeah.
And who's this player?
Johan Santana.
Okay.
Yeah, he did it for the Mets in whatever year that was, 20... 10?
He no-hitted the Mets.
No. He pitched the only no-hitter in New York Mets history.
Really?
Remember, forever, it was the Mets and Padres were the only two baseball teams didn't have one. And then the Padres had some scrub, I think, throw one.
Scrub.
Rake Straw's going to know who it was.
No-hitter in
Major League
Baseball.
He had a weird name, like Bud or something. Scrub. Bud something. Bud Smith or something.
Wiffle Ball King calls
some
no-hitter Major League Baseball player.
Through a no-hitter. Okay. And I think they've had one or two after then, but the Mets just had Santana's one of those guys. He's like, I'm trying to think of
a good
example.
Can I look up best 57s?
He's like George Foster, where his peak was insanely, insanely high.
Right.
But he just didn't do it long enough. Like, he won multiple Cy Youngs, and he was the strikeout
leader. Greg Vaughn?
Well, yeah, Greg Vaughn would be up there. In a way, Tracy McGrady was kind of like that,
right,
even though McGrady had a little more, enough longevity to warrant him being in the Hall of Fame. Like, Santana's not going to be a Hall of Fame pitcher.
Best to wear 57. Is it going to be Johan Santana?
Well, the other ones that I got were Dwight Stevenson, the old Dolphins center.
Okay.
And Ricky Jackson from those really
That's
bad Saints teams.
That's not bad.
He was like the only good player. He was like the Andre Tippett of the Saints, where he was
Clay Matthews?
Basically their only good player for a long time.
What about Clay Matthews?
Yeah.
You seem less than thrilled about Clay Matthews.
Clay Matthews existed and played.
All right, we'll go with Ricky Jackson. I liked Ricky Jackson. This is the Ricky Jackson
episode. I already labeled it
Schultz.
As Johan.
No, it's not the Johan Santana.
Well, I already did. It's in the TV log.
Johan is linked with a scrub, right?
Greg has put it in our TV guide as the Johan Santana episode of Quarantine.
What things yesterday in the Colts-Texans game, were there any things that were discouraging to you?
I was discouraged that in the first half they completely controlled the game and yet they only had 10 points.
Right.
And they're up 10-3. And I think that's going to continue to be a problem. Yesterday was the first time, Jake, this season that the Colts have crossed the 30-point threshold. And you've got to be threatening that really every single week. Maybe not against the Texans or the Jets or the Jaguars, but for the most part, for teams that are worth something and have a pulse, you have to be threatening that mark every single week. So it still, to me, and they got it through big plays and all of that, but punching it in, scoring points, that's and people are going to say at home, well, yeah, of course scoring points is the biggest goal, but particularly for the Colts.
Were you satisfied with their level of aggression once they had a lead and it looked comfortable that you know, this is a team and an administration with Frank Reich that has been known to kind of back off the gas pedal?
Yeah, I was fine with that. And I wonder how much of that was an offshoot of what happened 6 days ago in
right.
Baltimore, right? Wentz shouldn't be taking snaps up 28-3 against a team that cannot come back from 28-3. You know, Davis Mills and the Texans, that's a far cry from Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. But I like that they stayed aggressive. You know, they got that second touchdown to go up 17-3, and I was waiting for the ease up to happen, and it just never happened. I mean, defensively, I thought they were I thought they were fantastic, and offensively with the big plays, that's obviously what you want to happen. Paris Campbell, whenever something happens to him, like a piece of an asteroid falls out of the sky and he gets hurt for another couple of weeks, but that 51-yard touchdown catch was fantastic. That's exactly who you want him to be.
That, well, you're right, and that's exactly what he was brought in to be, yeah. And you thought to yourself, well, this is, you know, maybe Paris Campbell's role was to be that guy until T.Y. Hilton came back. I mean, I realize that's not the case, but wouldn't it just be perfect Murphy's Law that once Hilton is available, now you lose Campbell? We'll see whether or not he's going to miss some time.
That's how it usually happens receiver-wise for the Colts.
But aren't you tantalized with the thought of both of them out there healthy?
Yeah, because I think this
with Pittman emerging,
we overrate this receiver group every single year. And when things got off to a slow start, I think people were saying again, okay, here we go again. But from a talent standpoint, you know, Paris Campbell is very talented. Michael Pittman is terrific. I think he's going to have a long and great NFL career.
Is there any chance
going to be in the Ring of Honor?
Is there any chance that Michael Pittman, whose growth so far the first part of this season was definitely on display, if T.Y. Hilton still has some fuel left in the tank here to this level, does that in any way, shape, or form stunt Michael Pittman?
No. There's enough footballs to go around. That'll be fine. I don't think that – if anything, I think having Hilton there, just kind of his presence and a guy that you have to respect and a mentor in the locker room, is actually a really positive thing for Michael Pittman, much more than it's a deterrent or a negative thing for him. So I'm not worried about that at all. But to your original point, Jake, you just need all these guys. You need to have all the bullets in the gun.
Right.
You know, and if we're talking about encouraging things, how about the offensive line, right? It looks like they've figured some things out, and Reed filling in is in one of the guard spots, and they might get Nelson
Reed
back.
Reed has done a nice job,
so,
right?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, they've it may be just stuffing some chewing gum into that hole, but they've plugged the leak in the boat.
There's plenty to get to here in this Ricky Jackson, Johan Santana episode of Query and Schultz, including upcoming our Colts IMCU Player of the Week. We will get to that. We'll also talk more about the Colts before we get into college football. Huge win, boiler up for the footballs. I probably should have worn my The Shop Indy Yell Purdue shirt.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I went with Ball State, yeah, because
Eastern Michigan.
It was sitting right there, and I thought, you know what, we had so much fun up at Ball State. But don't forget, by the way, whether it is Purdue, Indiana, Ball State, Butler, whatever it might be, or perhaps just the nostalgia of Indianapolis, some of the athletes that you can get now throughout the name, image, likeness T-shirts, like, for example, Jackson Anthrop, Eric Hunter of Purdue.
Oh, we got David Bell right here.
David Bell, yeah. Unbelievable performance for now-ranked Purdue's win in Iowa that we'll talk about upcoming. But the Shop Indy, 918 Broadapple Avenue, also at Clay Terrace. You can always find them online at theshopindy.com. Not only are they fashionable and fantastic T-shirts that are esoteric here to Central Indiana, but also very philanthropic, because the Shop Indy is always looking to give back and be a great partner within the community. We're always happy to have them on board. Upcoming, Derek, let's get to it. Our IMCU up next, Colts Player of the Week.
More
Sound
Colts
good?
Talk, more NFL talk as well.
All right.
It's Query and Schultz, just getting started on a fully loaded Monday, episode 57.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
Hey, I'm Jeff Saturday, and my favorite thing when I was a professional football player was Indiana. The Hoosier State always made me feel like family. That's why I trust Indiana's hometown mortgage lender, Bailey & Wood. This family-owned company not only gives back to the communities they serve, but also with their five-star customer service, they can close on your dream home in days, not weeks. So remember, Indiana, you can always get your mortgages at a snap with Bailey & Wood.
Hey, Jeff, how does this look?
Yay! Not bad, bud, but let's stick to mortgages.
Indiana dairy farmers provide us with safe, pure foods for our tables. A responsibility that takes intuition, resolve, and determination to make sure their milk is good for you and delicious to taste. Their connection with our community runs deep, passed down through the generations, ensuring that milk is always available at your store. It's not easy being a dairy farmer, but the rewards have special meaning when you can feed Indiana's families every single day. Learn more at winnersdrinkmilk.com.
Welcome back to Query and Schultz, ISU Sports Network. Alongside Jay Query, I am the much more handsome and intelligent Derek Schultz. Whether you're watching us on ISU Sports Network, Comcast 81, perhaps via YouTube on the Query and Schultz page, or maybe you're listening to us so you can't even see us right now, or what I'm doing.
If you are listening to us and can't even see us, that is the demographic that seems to find Derek to be the more handsome of the two.
All major podcast platforms. Actually, I've been told that the raspiness and sultriness of my voice is a turn-on.
Really?
So,
is that the advantage from all those cool cigarettes?
People do like to hear that voice.
Okay.
Right into the microphone.
Uh-huh.
Hello.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Brought to you by Camel Menthol.
To Quarian Schultz.
Okay.
It's good.
Yeah,
it's good. That looks a lot weirder on TV. That's probably not going to play as well on TV. We'll get that in post, Jordan. We'll put a logo over my face because it's a little bit creepy. Time to get to our IMCU Player of the Week, brought to you by our friends at Indiana Members Credit Union. See what IMCU can do for you at imcu.com. Thanks to Ron Collier for hopping on with us a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, real good dude. Former IHSAA football ref and CEO of IMCU. You could go in a lot of different directions with this for Player of the Week. I think maybe most people would say Jonathan Taylor because he had the big breakout and all of that. You could just give it to a unit and say the Colts defense, who was tremendous. I mean, 3 points. I don't care how bad the Texans are. You hold somebody to three, that's pretty good.
It seems as though, Derek...
I'm going to go with Hilton, though.
Yeah, that seems to be the obvious, right? Because T.Y. Hilton coming back, I mean, after missing 5 games, going up against the team that we, of course, know he's made a living against the Houston Texans. He has turned, you know, NRG Stadium into a house of horrors for Houston when he goes down there. Same thing at Lucas Oil. It's only fitting, I know everybody has said it, but it's only fitting in the month of October that the Ghost was there and played well. You knew it was going to happen against the Texans, but... That's impressive, though. And look, he was very, very candid, Derek, about, you know, I think for athletes, and again, I don't by any means, in any way, shape, or form, pretend to be a professional athlete and know what goes into being a professional athlete. But for anybody coming back from injury or coming back from a health issue, the psychological is as much a part of it as the physical.
Yeah.
And, you know, the hesitation. And when you suddenly see a mortality about your career, the depths where that can take you. And T.Y. Hilton was very candid about the fact that when the injury first popped up, you know, that he thought this was it. And he contemplated that this was it. And I think psychologically it takes a lot to get back to that point and be able to have the energy level and the focus not only to put your body in position to be able to go out and play. And so to go out and play and make a difference and be a big threat on the field absolutely merits being the player, the ICMU, IMCU.
IMCU.
Indiana Members Credit Union Player of the Week.
I think there just is a different mindset and mentality to athletes nowadays, and people approach it like it's a bad thing, but it's not. It's actually a good thing to put your life and your family and your health over the sport that you play. And, you know, no offense to the old school guys. I mean, I love the fact that guys are willing to break their bodies for the sport that they love. That's great. But you just wonder if Hilton or any of these other guys, 31, 32 years old, look at it and say, hey, I've got more money that I could spend in 2 lifetimes, probably at this point. I don't want to go through this again,
right.
You know? Or even some of the older guys. I remember Reggie Wayne was still playing at a really high level and then had that ACL injury and came all the way back from it, and then just stuff kept popping up after that, and he never really relaunched his career after that. You just wonder if it would have been better for him to just say, hey, you know what, I'm why even put in the effort
to do all
this?
And that's the thing, and you wonder when that injury, you know, which one is going to be that one, right? But turns out that T.Y. Hilton showed that once again coming off injury, he can be reliable for the Colts. That's why he is our Player of the Week. But, Derek, speaking of reliable, Indiana Members Credit Union is exactly that with all of the things they have to offer. For those who go into IMCU.
Free checking accounts, e-statements, and all of that jazz, plus low auto rates and more. Check them out. See what IMCU can do for you. IMCU.com. You know what else this week signaled? And I don't know if you saw my tweet on Sunday. You follow me, and I know you rip off a lot of my tweets.
Muted.
I'm muted on Twitter. Am I really?
Let me check.
Well, I'll start tagging you so you absolutely see them.
Do I still see that?
If you are a longtime listener of Query and Schultz, then you'll remember the 2018 season. The Colts started 1-5.
That's right.
And they played a really bad. I think it was Buffalo. I think Buffalo started Derek Anderson.
What is this? Hold on.
And the Colts played a home game against the Bills and destroyed them. And they were 2-5.
You probably can't see my phone, can you? This little.
And can I tell my story or what?
What is
going to
little...
show? Mute.
What does that mean?
That means I'm muted. Yeah, thanks.
So I'm following you. I have you, the courtesy follow for you.
Right.
But muted, meaning when Derek tweets something, I don't actually see it.
Well, part of our agreement is that we follow each other.
By else, design.
If we didn't have that obligation, then we probably wouldn't follow each other. But anyway, the Colts were 2-5 at that point in the season. And it was like a Wednesday night in October or whatever. And I had my jams on and I was dreaming. And I had this vision of this train. It was very similar to the Hogwarts Express that comes to platform 9 3/4, but instead of carrying Harry Potter and Hermione and Ron Weasley and chocolate frogs and all of that, it was the Colt 7-2 train.
The hell are we talking about?
And it was just this, it was almost like this out-of-body experience where I'm on the platform and I'm not getting on the train, but like Andrew Luck's on the train. And then I think Eric Ebron is on the train and like a bunch of the Colts players, they're all on the train and they're waving from the windows. And it starts chugging along, and it's off to this destination. And I just thought, oh, my God, like the Colts are going to go on a run here. They're going to go on a surge. And they did. In fact, they finished 8-1. So the 7-2 train ended up actually technically being wrong. I undershot it. But it was really fun. A lot of people hopped onto it. The local and national media really became into it. It was a beloved thing that I created, which usually anything that came from this show that was beloved was created by me. So I'm bringing it back, but we're going to call it the Colts Surge Train. I'm not even going to put a number on it, but the Colts have to get to 10 wins, right? That's the destination.
I'm looking up their schedule, Derek.
So I'm back on platform 9 3/4, and I think they can finish 9-3. The three tough games of that being Tampa Bay, they have to go at Arizona, and I'm missing another one.
Tennessee.
Yeah, no. That's not the one that I'm missing.
Okay, but hold on. Here's their schedule.
They play somebody else really good.
Okay. Of their remaining games.
Yeah.
And just let's just do this straightforward. Okay. I'm going to give you the game.
Yeah.
And then you just tell me if you think it is a game that they just win or loss.
Okay.
You ready? At San Francisco.
Dub.
Tennessee at home.
Dub.
At New York Jets.
Big dub.
Jacksonville at home.
Win.
At Buffalo.
That was the other one. Loss.
Tampa.
Loss.
At Houston.
Back in the dub column.
New England.
Win. Let's do it.
At Arizona.
Loss.
At the Raiders.
Win.
I'm sorry, Raiders are at home.
Win.
At Jacksonville.
It's always tough, right? Because even during that year, that was the one loss. But I'm going to say win.
Okay, based on that.
Yeah, 9-3.
9-3.
Yeah. 10-7.
Question is 10-7 enough to get a wild card?
I don't know. Might be enough to win the division.
They've dug themselves, Derek, a pretty big
hole. Yeah, it might be enough to win the division. You know, if you – Tennessee still has – they've got – you know, we're taping this on Monday. They've got Buffalo tonight. And then the return game against the Colts. So you could be back in first place as early as next week.
Let me give you Tennessee's remaining schedule, okay?
They've got some other tough games. They still have the Rams, I think, too, don't they?
The Ram game.
Yeah.
Okay, here's Tennessee's remaining schedule. I want you to – we're going to do the same thing.
Okay.
Okay?
But I'm going to give them all the benefit of the doubt games. I'm going to give to them just like I did for the Colts.
Hosting Buffalo.
Loss.
Hosting Kansas City.
Loss, but less confident about it than I would normally have been.
At Indianapolis.
Loss.
At the Rams.
Ooh. Let's say loss for that one, too.
New Orleans at home.
Win.
Houston at home.
Win.
At New England.
Win.
Jacksonville at home.
Win.
At Pittsburgh.
Win. Like I said, I do it with the Colts, I'm going to
do it with them. San Francisco at home.
Win.
Dolphins at home.
Win.
At Houston.
Win.
That puts them at 1, 2, 3, 4.
Is that a tie? That's 10-7, isn't it?
What's that?
I think that's 10-7 and 10-7, is it not?
1, 2, 3, 4. No, that would put them
at 11-6.
11-6.
Yeah, okay.
So it's tough sledding for the Colts. They've just dug themselves a big hole.
But but Jake, you know, some of that is I'm giving them all of the 50-50 games and all of the superior teams. It doesn't work that way in the NFL. You stub your toe along the way.
The Colts just don't, bottom line is, Derek, the Colts just don't have any margin for error. Yeah. They have to win all of the 50-50 games.
It just sucks because you'd feel so much if they're 3-3 right now coming off the win in Baltimore. You'd feel a lot
better.
It's
a huge swing.
Yeah, you'd feel a lot better.
Real quick, just around the league, things that jumped out at you over the course of the weekend.
I think, and we'll get into this a little bit more with the features because it's one of my my Sage Move of the Week. I think we're seeing I thought last week we saw the step forward that the upper crust NFL teams are taking in stepping away from the rest of the league with some of their wins. Like what Green Bay did it to Chicago, Dallas winning in overtime to New England, the Cardinals just destroying the Browns in Cleveland. I mean, Arizona looks unbelievable. Who else am I missing out of that group that had a good win yesterday? Oh, the Bucks beating the Eagles, I guess, on Thursday night. They kind of survived a tough game. I think you're starting to see a separation between the truly, really good teams in the league and everyone else. Like the Colts and Patriots and Titans and all those teams, I think you can kind of throw into a blender right now.
A guy named Corbin sent me this today, his notes from the NFL. I thought it was interesting. Let me share a couple with you because I thought this guy is pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
You tell me, I'm going to name one. You just tell me agree or disagree. You ready? Colts do not miss Quentin Nelson as much as we thought they would.
Agree, because Reed's played pretty well.
Justin Herbert came back to earth.
I don't do the game-by-game evaluation for quarterbacks.
Ravens are legit, and Lamar is an MVP candidate.
Yeah, but I'd say that just about every year. I don't get the people. There are still people that don't like Lamar Jackson.
Matthew Stafford is going to be that much better when he knows the playbook.
I've always been confident in Matthew Stafford.
Why do the Colts even give Marlon Mack carries?
I don't know. Mack is a good player.
T.Y. is back.
He is back. Yeah, he played yesterday.
Patrick Mahomes needs to settle down.
No, he's got to put them on his back. I mean, that Chiefs team reminds me of the 2010 Colts.
Okay. The idea that Tyler Heinicke is still starting in the NFL and Cam Newton is available and vaxxed is absurd.
Washington stinks. Like, why did people think Washington was going to be good this year?
I know.
They stink.
Are the Packers on the quietest five-game winning streak of all time?
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield can't lift an offense.
Baker Mayfield is what I'm worried that Carson Wentz is. He's in that 12-15 range. He's fine.
Fair.
He's not a star. He's fine.
The Seahawks are missing Wilson, so they'll have an excuse to not fix their defense.
Well, yeah, they have some problems. And Pittsburgh's not very good.
Pittsburgh is not very good.
No.
You're right.
You know who I think is really
Najee
good?
Najee Harris is pretty good,
though.
Say,
and if you put a gun to my head today, I would pick them to win the Super Bowl.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. But it pains you to say it.
Yeah.
The Dallas Cowboys. Yeah.
If you put a gun in my head today, I'd pick them to win the Super Bowl. And it's not that I think they're better than Arizona today. It's just that the team that's the best right now is never ends up being the champion, it feels like, doesn't it?
What are the odds the Super Bowl is actually a home game for both teams playing in it?
Is it in L.A.?
Yes. Could it be a Rams-Chargers Super Bowl?
Yeah, but I would put that at like a 4%, 5%.
I mean, there's a lot that has to go into that, right? College football, by the way, huge, huge, huge win for the now ranked Purdue Boilermakers.
How about
Derek
that?
Threw some salt in the wound about what that ranking means in terms of others that you would think would typically be ranked ahead of Purdue. We will get to that. We'll take a look at the weekend in college football and a big, big, big college football game that you can see right here on ISC Sports Network. We'll tell you about that again as well. When we return to episode 57, Query and Schultz on ISC.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
Indiana dairy farmers provide us with safe, pure foods for our tables. A responsibility that takes intuition, resolve, and determination to make sure their milk is good for you and delicious to taste. Their connection with our community runs deep, passed down through the generations, ensuring that milk is always available at your store. It's not easy being a dairy farmer, but the rewards have special meaning when you can feed Indiana's families every single day. Learn more at winnersdrinkmilk.com.
Meet Kate. She has a lot to juggle. Family, work, it can lead to trying days and tired nights. But we know Kate, and at Indiana Members Credit Union, we know at some point, her space at a premium life may change. IMCU is here to help Kate and you find your space. Now, add on a remodel with an introductory rate of 1.9% APR on a home equity line of credit. Today, it's all about Kate. Tomorrow, it's all about you. Because at IMCU, it's you that matters.
Derek, one thing that we do know is that this year, one of the great rivalry games in all of college football, the Modon Bell, DePaul Wabash, will be seen right here on ISC Sports Network. I believe Greg Rakestraw will yell to me from the other side of the door. I believe that's November 13th, but I could be completely wrong in that. November 13th, right. Modon Bell, you can see it right here on ISC Sports Network. ISC Sports Network is your home for the Modon Bell. Derek, when it comes to a new home, if you want to get a new home, then obviously Bailey and Wood is the place where you turn.
Mortgages in a snap.
No.
Ah, that was a bad one. There we go.
Well, you got those bitty hands. It's hard to snap.
I do. I have very small, but they're very strong.
Okay.
Like, I could strangle you to death if I really wanted to. Like, they're compact, so I wouldn't be able to reach all the way around your neck, but I'd get enough of your jugular to close your air passage and crush that.
Would you have a step stool?
Can we get that in post, Jordan? I don't want that in there.
Okay.
3, 2, 1, without Jake's joke. Yes, Jake, Bailey and Wood, mortgages in a snap. Another bad one.
You can't say another. You just hold on.
It's a bad one.
You can't say let's get that in post and then reference another bad one because theoretically it was taken out.
I wasn't planning to get that one.
Do you want to do a third?
I was all right. 3, 2, 1. That's right, Jake, Bailey and Wood, mortgages in a snap. That was good. I'll take that one.
Okay.
Former Colts All-Pro Center Jeff Saturday on board with the Bailey and Wood Financial Group team. And they want to be part of your team as well. If you're looking to refinance, rates still low. Also, if you're looking to get that pre-approval to buy a new home, check them out online. BAWFG.com, 855-350-HOME and 13 Central Indiana branch locations.
BAWFG.
BAWFG.com.
Okay. Derek, over the weekend, and I think, listen, I'm not taking anything away from Purdue. I thought it was interesting in the broadcast that the broadcasters, you know, they always say during a broadcast, you know, when we talked to Coach over the weekend leading up to the game, and apparently Coach Ferentz, Kirk Ferentz of Iowa, had basically said, like, look, do you really think we're the second best team in the country? But nonetheless, Iowa is really good and was unbeaten, and Purdue goes into Kinnick, which is a tough place to play. And I'll tell you what.
They dominated them.
David Bell, what was it, 11 for 240? Something
yeah.
like that?
He has like 500-something yards in three games against them. It's just, it's insane. He's the best offensive player in the Big Ten. I can say that authoritatively. In the country, it's a little bit tougher because the country's a big place, right? But David Bell is one of the most dynamic playmakers in America.
You know what befuddles me is that I was looking – and it probably was from the preseason, wide receiver prospects in the upcoming NFL draft, and they had Bell, I think, at 10th.
Yeah, it's so weird to me. I mean, I'm not a scout, but he is special. He's just an unbelievable playmaker. And the difference is, Jake, is that unlike, like, let's say you're Alabama or Oklahoma or Georgia, you have this bevy of guys, right, that defenses have to pay attention
right.
to. Everybody knows who David
You're
Bell
right.
is. He's
You're right.
the guy that you game plan for.
You know, they actually had, I thought.
And he still does it.
What
still
Purdue
produces.
Did that was entertaining, and I know it drives you crazy, was kind of the quarterback by committee. It worked,
yeah,
though, right?
It worked.
And they do have, they have receivers making plays beyond just Bell, even though Bell is elite. You know, there were times in the short yardage game where they went away from Bell and they were still moving the football. But that game was never in question.
They dominated them.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes in upsets, it's like weird. A bunch of weird stuff happens. Like, they killed Iowa. In fact, they had a fumble in the end zone, and they had a missed field goal that could have been way more of a laugher score-wise than it ended up being. Purdue made some mistakes and still killed them.
You know, on the other side of things, Purdue now, by the way, ranked, is it 24th or 25th?
25th. Can I mention just two things real quick?
Yep.
Purdue now has the fifth most wins against AP top two teams, trailing only Oklahoma, Ohio State, USC, and Notre Dame. They have 9 wins as an unranked team against AP top 5 teams. That's more than double anyone else in college football history, which is the two most Purdue stats ever, right?
Right.
And they ended the longest current top 25 drought. Now Kansas has it because Kansas hadn't been ranked since 2008. Purdue hadn't been ranked since Joe Tiller in 2007. And they're now ranked higher than Clemson.
That is now, let me ask you this. Part of
Clemson's
that
26.
Part of that is the preseason expectation, is it not?
Of course.
Clemson's offense is terrible, though.
It's a slog, man. It's a real slog.
They've got a very good defense, but their offense is brutal.
Yeah, and you know this, and I feel like I'm a little more knowledgeable about the ACC because Notre Dame plays 5 or 6 guaranteed games. It's not a good league. You know, even the middle teams like Virginia Tech is okay, but they're just right. You know, they're just okay. And Syracuse and
why does Syracuse always play on Friday night?
I don't know. I don't know. Syracuse feels like they've been the same team like over. They had that one team that was pretty good a couple years ago, but it feels like they're like 6-6, 5-7 basically every single year. It's just a weird year, Jake. Like people are like, well, Iowa's a fraud. Why were they number two? They're number two because everybody else is losing.
Right.
Like, what do you want them to do?
Okay, and another team that is highly ranked because they're unbeaten, and I don't know how good that makes them, this fella here.
Yeah, sad. Sad guy, yeah.
I do like the fact he's got the patch on his flannel, though. That's kind of cool, right?
I actually like that shirt without the patch. Just do the yellow and black. Everybody knows what it is, right? It's kind of an off yellow compared to the Hawkeye yellow, I guess.
That fellow looks like it was a rough Saturday. Indiana and Michigan State, the Spartans are unbeaten as well. And, you know, it wasn't like Indiana. They were in that game for the better part of at least 3/4 of it.
They were the better team.
My concern for Indiana is this, Derek. And I've been hesitant to go here. But let me just throw something, and then you tell me if I'm premature.
Okay.
I think he is a wonderful human. I think he is absolutely somebody that you would want young people to have as a role model and a mentor on how to conduct yourself and how to go about your business. I think he's elevated Indiana's recruiting, and I think that he has rightly and gotten people excited about his vision. But when I watch Indiana's football team, they look like a team to me that is not overly, when it comes to the discipline of a football game, well-coached. I think Tom Allen is a lot of really good things. I don't know if an X's and O's preparation coach is one of them.
Yeah.
And it feels a little bit like a more likable Tom Crean.
And do they have a coordinator problem, too, with Nick Sheridan and, you know, the latest in a line of not super effective offensive coordinators, it feels like. That's what Indiana's been bogged down by. Their defense was dominant against Michigan State. I mean, Indiana really, for all intents and purposes, was a better team on Saturday than Michigan State. They outplayed them. But when you throw a pick six and you make a bunch of mistakes and, you know, the red zone stuff pops up again, you're going to lose. And that's what happened. What's weird to me about Tom Allen, Jake, is that both you and I felt like he wasn't the guy for this job. A lot of people felt that way. But you and I were in agreement. We don't always agree. We were in agreement that we were real skeptical that he was the guy. And then the last 2 years happened. And then this whole offseason, I was thinking to myself, well, wait a minute. Was I wrong? Maybe he is the guy. And now what's happening is that you're like, oh, wait a minute. Was I right again?
Here's the thing. This is the easiest way to say it, in my opinion, Derek. You tell me if you agree or disagree. There were any questioning of Tom Allen as the head coach at Indiana or whether or not he was the right guy was almost inappropriate to say because it was a program that has been so down and he was giving it an energy and a focus and is so likable, obviously, in so many ways as a leader. But once he started getting paid upper echelon, big-time college football money, which he is now, that then took away the protection of it not being allowed to be questioned. Yeah. And now he is at the same standards.
Change.
Correct.
Yeah, that's the bottom line. The expectations change. And Indiana fans could say, well, they lost to four top 10 teams. You can talk about the schedule all you want. Strength of schedule only matters if you actually beat some of those teams. And that's really what's held Indiana back forever. You know, we talk about Purdue and all these wins, these random wins that they have against great teams. Indiana never does that. Never. Indiana never beats anybody like that.
Right.
It never happens. And it's frustrating. You think, like, accidentally they would actually win one of these games every once in a while, and they just can't seem to do it. So there are a lot of things that are happening that are positive. Recruiting has been amazing. The financial commitment to the program, the facilities and all of that. Like, Indiana football, I still think, at the end of the day, is in a good place. You just worry, Jake, about the air coming out of the balloon if they're to go, like, 5-7, which is what it looks like they're going to do.
Okay, what else it looks like is going to happen in college football pains me to say it. Once again, to be right, when Ohio State lost to Oregon, and I said, look, I'm telling you, the Buckeyes.
Yeah, they're crushing everybody now. They're not playing anybody, but they're crushing them.
And everything's opening up in front of them. If you look now at where teams are going to be ranked, the door is open now for Cincinnati, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, you could still get Alabama, Georgia both in, and there's still room for Cincinnati in the end.
Yep.
I mean, Alabama, Georgia, if it turns out, Derek, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, and then it comes down probably to Cincinnati or Ohio State, right?
Yeah.
But I think if
you're a Cincinnati fan,
I don't think Oklahoma's going to run the table.
No, me neither. And if you're a Cincinnati fan, I think to fully feel comfortable with where you are, you need Oklahoma to lose two. Because I could see them being jumped by one-loss team. If they're jumped by 2 1-loss teams, I think the committee would be hesitant to do that.
So when you say for Oklahoma to lose two, you mean TOO or TWO?
No. TOO.
Also.
So, because you've got 2 spots, I think, if you're Oklahoma. If you're Cincinnati. Because Alabama, I still think, is going to take one. And I think Georgia's going to take one,
correct,
too. So, you've got 2 spots. With where we sit today, things could change, I guess. I think it's easier for the committee to say, okay, if there's just – if Oklahoma's 12-0 or 13-0, we're going to put them in. And leapfrog Ohio State over Cincinnati. I think it's much harder to leapfrog both Oklahoma and Ohio State at 12-1 over Cincinnati.
If Alabama loses to Georgia, though, Alabama's out, don't you think?
Yeah, well, if the other things remain to form for Ohio State and for Oklahoma,
I agree with you that if Alabama and Georgia are on a collision course and it is one-loss Alabama defeating previously unbeaten Georgia, Alabama and Georgia are both in.
Yep, 100% both are in.
Yeah.
If Alabama is a 12-1 SEC champ, there is a 0% chance of them getting left out of the
correct
playoff. Zero.
And if Georgia is a 12-1 SEC runner-up, they are also
with the only loss to Alabama,
correct.
Yeah, you're probably – yeah, I correct would agree with that. Because they'll be number one, Jake, going into that game. So what are you going to do, drop them 4 spots for losing to Alabama? Right? So you and I are on the same wavelength with that, yeah.
Ohio State's going to get in, and I hate that. But there is a play I love.
Hey,
if
Michigan?
I love that play. Huh?
Michigan? Maybe I have something to say.
Penn State.
Yeah, I don't know. Penn State. Oh, yeah.
Please, we beg of you. Love that place. Next.
Oh, we're going to do it right now, right? You just did the next
thing.
The art of the tease.
He's
already
Derek
got it up there. See?
The art of the tease.
We have a monitor right here, which is what I'm pointing at. No, there's no break. We have to do Love That Play now. Like, we're on. People are watching. Like, okay. Hi. It's Corey and Schultz. We're not going anywhere.
Okay, then I'll do it. By the way, Love Heating and Air Conditioning has been around since 1920. That's over 100 years. How exactly do you last that long? Well, it's with a precision that was not just seen in that segue of the last segment. But Love Heating and Air, great customer service, right? Commitment to that customer service, knowledge of product, 24-hour maintenance, and family values. That's why Love Heating and Air Conditioning has been around that long. Love-HVAC.com. That's Love-HVAC.com. Also, 317-353-2141. 317-353-2141. Derek, our Love That Play favorite play of the week is what?
My Love That Play is next. Pause. Lane Kiffin trolling Tennessee fans, I thought was my – I couldn't think of like one single play from the weekend.
How about the Tennessee fans?
But, yeah, throwing their pelting golf balls and all that stuff. But he took one of – did you see one of the neon golf balls for his post-game interview and talked about how he's going to take it for a souvenir? Like,
yeah.
Lane Kiffin to me is kind of smarmy and slimy, but there's just something likable about that. Like, he's the villain that I think sports needs.
When he was coming off the field – this should be our Love That Play. I don't encourage that fans throw bottles onto the field, obviously. Yeah. But when one of them threw a water bottle, Lane Kiffin actually one-hand grabbed
it. Yeah, that was sharp.
And then took his own visor off and tossed it up into the crowd. Yeah. I thought Lane Kiffin handled the post-game interviews, Mississippi at Tennessee. For those that are unfamiliar, Lane Kiffin was the head coach at Tennessee before he...
For like 5 minutes.
Right, and then he left. And so, you know, that was his first trip back to Neyland Stadium. I thought his post-game interviews... He was really good where he just said, look, you know, they're passionate fans. Yeah. I love the passion. You know, Tennessee football is a great place, great stadium.
Did you see the media guy that threatened to fight Pat Forty? He's on the Tennessee radio network, and Pat's not allowed on our station anymore. Anybody that has him on, I'm going to fight him. I'm passionate about our fan base and them painting us this way. UT Nation's not like that at all. I'm just like, dude, like – Can you, Jake, can you just imagine? There was a time where you did take IU basketball like that seriously.
Oh, I know.
Can you just imagine being a grown? There are people that exist like this. Grown men, like professional media people that get that upset about it, like that are that emotionally involved. Like, I can't imagine ever being like that about Purdue or IU or the Colts or.
I hear you.
It's so weird to me.
But it's a passion down there, man. Tennessee football is a legit real deal.
Tennessee loses. Miami loses. Nebraska loses. Texas loses. It's just the same song and dance, man, for those programs. They cannot get out of their own way.
Texas is.
Oh.
That's the leader right now for Arch Manning, though, just so you know.
Mm. And that'll change things around, right? Texas will be preseason top 11 or whatever they are, you know, and then fall right out of it.
It's not often that I mention or confess when I aired, mostly because I just don't air very often. But in this case, I did air because I said up next was Love That Play. Obviously, that was now. What is next? Is Derek turning himself into Ted Lasso, right? And
I've never seen it.
Our Sage Move of the Week as well.
Oh, okay.
That's next on Query and Schultz.
Because I've never seen Ted Lasso.
Indiana dairy farmers provide us with safe, pure foods for our tables. A responsibility that takes intuition, resolve, and determination to make sure their milk is good for you and delicious to taste. Their connection with our community runs deep, passed down through the generations, ensuring that milk is always available at your store. It's not easy being a dairy farmer, but the rewards have special meaning when you can feed Indiana's families every single day. Learn more at winnersdrinkmilk.com.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
Hey, I'm Jeff Saturday, and my favorite thing when I was a professional football player was Indiana. The Hoosier State always made me feel like family. That's why I trust Indiana's hometown mortgage lender, Bailey & Wood. This family-owned company not only gives back to the communities they serve, but also with their five-star customer service, they can close on your dream home in days, not weeks. So remember, Indiana, you can always get your mortgages at a snap with Bailey & Wood.
Hey, Jeff, how does this look? Yay!
Not bad, bud, but let's stick to mortgages.
Welcome back. It's Query and Schultz, ISG Sports Network, fresh off of Jake's quick potty break. Welcome back to the show.
That's not true, Derek. It's the master of the television break. People don't know where I went. For all you know, I went out to make a phone call.
It's a potty break.
You don't know that.
It happened. I mean,
could have gone out.
You know, we're all adults here. It happens. It happened to my grandpa, where he just lost. My cat was 22, Fluffy
right?
Just lost all control. And cat urine can eat through brick. I mean, that's a serious problem. We had to, unfortunately, put Fluffy down, which I'm hoping we don't have to do with you, but it's amazing you can't last an hour and a half on the show.
You know,
Are you sure you can drink all that milk without
Derek,
having to go potty?
Let's face it, because here's the thing. Not only our Sage Move of the Week brought to you by WGU Indiana, but do you have the milk facts in front of you, or is that me?
No, we got to do that. We have to do everything in order, Jake. It's important. So your potty break into... The next segment into Chateau Kitchens, which you see their logo right behind me. We're heading to the showroom, Ash and I, on Wednesday to pick out
Man, that is good.
Cabinetry and tile.
Okay.
It's exciting. I'm at the point in my life where I look forward to picking out cabinetry and tile.
Well, I mean, Derek, if you're doing it at Chateau Kitchens, you don't have to be at any point. I mean, that alone makes it enjoyable, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think we're going to go with a little bit of a darker tone on the tile and octagon. A little lighter in the bathroom, just kind of brighten it a little bit. There is some natural light that comes in from the window, but we want to just kind of get some earthy tones in there as well.
Earthy tones.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Kind of make that happen. Maybe we'll go with like an eggshell white for the paint on the ceiling and all of that. Like a not quite white, but like an off-white. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Aesthetically pleasing. Because it's going to be our guest bathroom.
Okay.
It's also going to be my kids' bathroom, so there'll be pee all over it and all of that. So we need the off-white because if it stains.
Fluffy
we
stopping know by?
Okay.
Fluffy stopping by?
Oh, no. Fluffy passed in 2002.
Okay.
Yeah. She is no longer with us.
For those that are interested, though, in getting Chateau Kitchens to take a look and, of course, maybe looking at the work they can do, they do so how?
They can go to their showroom like we're doing on Carmel Drive, or you can head online, chateaukitchens.com, or check them out on Instagram. See some of the before and after pictures, all kinds of, you know, kitchens, but also bathroom remodels, basement remodels, anything and everything. Can you not knock over my milk?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. At Chateau Kitchens Instagram, at Chateau Kitchens on Facebook.
Okay. Also, by the way, our Sage Move of the Week brought to you by WGU Indiana. WGU is Indiana's largest online accredited university. So whether you are thinking about going back to school or perhaps starting for the first time to get that degree you covet, maybe that promotion at work is something that a degree is what's holding you back, or the lack thereof, I should say. WGU, because ambition never rests. You can do classes on your schedule, your time, with WGU Indiana. That's the beauty of WGU. Again, WGU.edu/Indiana. WGU.edu/Indiana with our Sage Move of the Week. Derek, we were just talking about college football. I have my own version of the Sage of the Week that's college football related, but yours would be what?
I just kind of mentioned, I thought it was a sort of moving day on Sunday where you saw some separation between like what the Cardinals did in Cleveland and what the Cowboys did and winning in a really tough atmosphere in New England. I think you're starting to see some separation between the true contenders and just kind of everybody else in the NFL. But we'll see. I mean, things can change, and you know, six games does not a season make, but I'm starting to wonder if the NFL is starting to have a clear upper crust.
My Sage Move of the Week actually comes in college football because there was a lot of scrutiny about this. I think it's interesting that, you know, Lincoln Riley and the Oklahoma Sooners, they had a quarterback that heading into the year was a Heisman contender that was mentioned, you know, in Spencer Rattler as the guy that's going to lead Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And the offense was just kind of sputtering. I wonder if this isn't perhaps going to happen with Clemson, where you just say, you know what, maybe we need to make a change here. Lincoln Riley went ahead and did that. Now, he had the benefit of the fact that he had a five-star top-billed freshman coming in on the sidelines in Caleb Williams, but he goes ahead and makes that move, and boom, different stratosphere offensively for the Oklahoma Sooners. We'll see whether or not that sustains, but could not have been a popular move and one that took – you got to reach down pretty deep to be able to say, you know what, here, and that's why Lincoln Riley's in that position, right? That's why he's the guy making those moves. I thought it was a sage move, and it's paying off for Oklahoma.
Yeah, and good for Caleb Williams because, you know, you come in that Red River rivalry, you're down 17. So if you screw a bunch of things up, that's kind of a no-pressure situation, isn't
right.
it? I get that it's Texas-Oklahoma, so you say, well, it's always pressure. And he goes out there and just wings it and does it. I was really looking forward to it. They played Kansas State, right? I think was their opponent this
right.
week. What he did as a follow-up, and he was just as dynamic.
He was, no question about it.
Really, really good.
So tell me about your little experience with soccer. You became Ted Lasso and decided that you wanted to see AFC Richmond, right?
It was fun. Well, I don't know what any of what you just said. Greg Rakestraw, who is here with us at IC Sports Network, is a soccer nut and is the voice of the Indy 11. And so he was heading over to Columbus with a couple of the 11 guys. Trey Higdon, who's in their comms department, and John Kluter as well, and who actually was at IU around the same time I was. I think we overlapped by a year or so. And we went to this new, beautiful soccer facility in Columbus, Lower.com Stadium.
Okay.
I think it's a mortgage place. To see the U.S. men's national team take on Costa Rica in a World Cup qualifier, you couldn't have asked for a more perfect night. Just beautiful. And it was a really engaged, fun crowd. And it was actually, I'm kind of ashamed to admit this because you've been to a bunch of races and baseball games. It was the first live sporting event that I've been to as a fan since COVID. And I know we talk about, you know, I've become kind of jaded about sports and they don't matter as much and my life matters. You know what I mean? Like, it's different than, I treat sports differently at 38 than I did at 18. But I miss the roar of the crowd. Like, right. that buzz and that atmosphere, it's, you feel it. And I felt it in Columbus. It was a lot of fun. They gave up a goal in the first minute and we're down 1-0. But then they were the better side throughout. They dominated.
Better side.
Yeah. They dominated possession and USA are victorious.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you got the proper terminology.
There's a picture of us right there.
Why is the
three handsome dudes.
Why does that picture look altered? Like,
There's probably an Instagram filter on that. That's all, just to kind of add to the emotion of the moment.
Your beard looks very peppery.
No, it's not. It's.
I know, but it
looks good
there.
On TV.
It looks good on TV.
It's the pixelation on the screen.
Pixelation.
And that's John on the
for.
Far left in the 11 jersey. That's Greg's got the scarf on. And my shirt is from Old Navy.
What about your jeans?
Jeans, I think, were also Old Navy. But I ripped them. I fell at, we did a UND football game, ISC Sports Network, on Saturday night. And I fell in front of a bunch of people, tore up my knee and tore up my pants.
So are the U.S. men's national soccer players our American Dairy Association winner drink, winners drink milk winner of the week, Derek?
We could do that if you want. I chose Candace Parker.
Right.
But
I think Candace Parker is a good suggestion and a good
now a WNBA champ.
So how about Candace Parker and the Chicago Sky, right? Which was a team that when they came
they
in took a long time to get their footing in the WNBA. But Candace Parker's had a remarkable career.
Yeah, and she's from there. Came back home. She was in LA for 13 years. Won an MVP. Won a couple of MVPs, I think. And really, she's not Diana Taurasi or maybe Tamika Catchings level, but she's right like on the next
very
tier.
Good.
You know, like she's like Hakeem Olajuwon of the all-time greats in the WNBA, which is a really rarefied air.
Do you have the milk facts sheet?
Yeah, it's got as much potassium as 30 cups of spinach, as much iron as 2 hard-boiled eggs.
I'm looking for the facts.
As much calcium as a full-grown male cow.
Okay. Actually, what it is, I can tell you.
Bowl.
Low-fat chocolate milk, okay, right here. This is nature's recovery drink for athletes with perfect mix of carbs and protein. Because we're talking about 10 cups of raw spinach. It has that much calcium in it, okay? As much potassium as a banana, as much vitamin A as 2 boiled eggs. All of that right here with some carbohydrates for chocolate milk. Low-fat chocolate milk. Once again, thank you to the American Dairy Association of Indiana for allowing us to each and every week say who our winner of the week is.
Come back with a little quick hits and a little biter bowl bleep.
My quick hits are coming hard, too, because I got the milk in me.
Yeah, it's spinach like Popeye. Does anybody get that anymore? Like, I was probably the last generation that gets that. It's Corey and Schultz, ISC Sports Network.
Indiana dairy farmers provide us with safe, pure foods for our tables. A responsibility that takes intuition, resolve, and determination to make sure their milk is good for you and delicious to taste. Their connection with our community runs deep, passed down through the generations, ensuring that milk is always available at your store. It's not easy being a dairy farmer, but the rewards have special meaning when you can feed Indiana's families every single day. Learn more at winnersdrinkmilk.com.
Hey, I'm Jeff Saturday, and my favorite thing when I was a professional football player was Indiana. The Hoosier State always made me feel like family. That's why I trust Indiana's hometown mortgage lender, Bailey & Wood. This family-owned company not only gives back to the communities they serve, but also with their 5-star customer service, they can close on your dream home in days, not weeks. So remember, Indiana, you can always get your mortgages at a snap with Bailey & Wood.
Hey, Jeff, how does this look?
Yay! Not bad, bud, but let's stick to mortgages.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
Welcome back to Query and Schultz. This is episode number 57, the Johan Santana, Ricky Jackson episode of the show. And Derek, I think it was actually after episode 54 or something along those lines, where you went and enjoyed some smoking barrel barbecue, and you have not quit talking about it
since. So good, yeah. I still think about it sometimes, late at night.
Yeah, you tell me about it all the time.
It was really, really good. I want to go back and try the other sides because I went to go see Mike and CJ over on German Church Road, the Far East Side, smoking with a KIN-barrel1L-BBQ.com to order online. And I got their brisket tacos, which I thought to myself, tacos and brisket? And everybody recommended that, and it was amazing. But the sides were unbelievable as well. We had the banana pudding. We had the mac and cheese.
Love
my wife's
pudding.
Favorite all-time mac and cheese. Really, really good. Check it out.
And here's the other thing. And I noticed, Derek, this is the one thing about Smoke and Barrel Barbecue that I loved. And the fact that you'd mentioned it's all the way out on the east side. I say all the way out. I just mean that because it's just before you kind of get out of Warren Township on the east side. But Smoke and Barrel, the first time that we talked about it here on the show, aside from the fact that they had the great food you're talking about, Derek, saw several comments on social media from people that said, you know what? Here's the thing. They're the nicest people.
Oh, 100%.
They're just
yeah.
nice people, right?
Yeah.
Like local, good people, the kind of people that you want to get behind and the kind of people that I'm thrilled that we're partnered with them because
yeah.
they're just good people.
Husband and wife team. And
gotta love
I think
that.
We mentioned this on the last show. If you want to dine in, you can, but it's in a bingo hall. And there's just something that's really cool about eating barbecue in a bingo hall. And
right.
you see like the numbers on the wall and all of that. But the smells, obviously, coming from the kitchen are just ridiculous. But I can't wait to try everything else. I mean, you and I should go over there. And it's been a while since we had a buddy lunch.
A buddy lunch.
We used to have BLs all the time before we got laid off. We do BL every week.
Well, we had the buddy lunch one time that was the leftover steak from the Christmas party the night before.
Yes, we did have some we had some not so good buddy lunches, but I think the first buddy lunch that we had was in another place that they're not a partner on the show, but a longtime friend of yours and a business that I frequented for a long time in Patties of Jamaica and Stefan.
Yeah. Stefan.
But the Jamaican Patties and Smoke and Barrel Barbecue. I mean, these are the type of places. No offense to the chains, because yes, they have local workers too, and I get it, and you know they're part of the community. Yes, all of that is true, but especially with restaurants, go out and support those people that are from your community.
Do you want to do some quick hits?
Let's do it. Yeah, don't touch me though. Congrats,
the camera angle there, you can't tell that I was hitting you.
Congratulations to the Chicago Sky. They were a 16-16 team during the regular season. They were the sixth seed in the 8-team WNBA playoffs. But they were dominant. They knocked out Dallas, Minnesota, Connecticut, and Phoenix in an 8-2 playoff run. My little niece, Tess, who's 4 years old, is the biggest Connecticut Sun fan in the world.
Okay.
She, in fact, when my brother-in-law, sister, and her came out, they went to the Fever Connecticut Sun game. Like, they're huge WNBA fans. So I was bummed to see Connecticut lose, but good for Chicago for making a run. Ed Orgeron out at LSU.
That?
Not a surprise. I mean, he's one of those guys where you knew that he wasn't a national championship level coach, right?
Where does give me the school that would be a good fit for him?
You know, I always thought that a school like Ole Miss would be a good fit, and that's where he coached. Where you could get away if you go 8-4 at Ole Miss, they're cool with that. Or
yeah,
Miss State, they'll throw a parade.
Mississippi State already has Mike Leach though, and Ole Miss has Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, I would think that it would be
South Carolina.
Maybe. I would actually think that it'd be a non-SEC school. I would think like Kansas or somebody would make a hire
Kansas
like that.
Kansas State or Kansas.
Where you just want to hire somebody established to give your program legitimacy.
That's
but I think he's a coordinator. Like, that's how I've always felt about Ed. No one will ever take it away from him. He won a national championship, but, you know, Gus Malzahn won a national championship.
A very likable
Kevin
guy.
Kevin Ollie won a national championship. You
likeable
know what I mean?
Guy. Yeah, you're right.
Sometimes guys just kind of inherit great situations. Undefeated 6A number one Center Grove outlasted undefeated 5A number one Cathedral in the game of the year between national ranked teams on Friday. Trojans trailed late 6-0 on just a really bad field. They played at Arlington High School, but ended up surging late to win that game. But both of those teams, heavy, heavy favorites to win the state title in their classes. And two great. Bill Peebles is a friend and has done a wonderful
great
job
coach.
At Cathedral. And Eric Moore and the Center Grove Sports Show was the first ever paid show that I ever did in a booth of a Chick-fil-A on Smith Valley Road. So Center Grove football and Eric Moore have always had a place in my heart
eat?
As well. A lot. You remember I was quite heavier when we it was a lot of muscle. Muscle weighs more than fat, but I was heavier in 2011 when we did the show. Like, I was pushing, like, 170 then.
What do you know?
150.
Okay.
Yeah. So I slimmed down.
I've gained some weight, just so you know.
I don't think you have it all. You don't.
Last week of beta blockers. Friday, last day of my beta blockers.
You don't. I would advise you. I know that we bust chops on here. Do not stop taking life-saving medication just so you can stay skinny, okay? You promise me. Because I'm afraid that you're going to choose being skinny over saving your life.
No, Derek,
because that's how
gone,
obsessed you are with
this. I have gone, with Dr. Mottman, I have gone by the letter of the law on everything. The beta blockers that I was on are a one-year medication.
Okay. Well, once you're off the beta blockers, let's go to Smoke and Barrel Barbecue and just stuff our faces. Biter Bowl Bleep now.
I can do Smoke and Barrel on beta blockers, just you know.
With our friends at the Shop Indie, theshopindie.com to order online. Holiday season's right around the corner. We actually bought some Christmas presents over the weekend that we're going to stash away. So if you want to do that, the Shop Indie, for any of the Hoosiers in your life, native Indiana folks, it's a great place. Also, at the Shop Indie on Twitter, and the brick and mortar locations, Clay Terrace in Carmel and the Strip in Broad Ripple. They bring you Biter Bowl Bleep. If you're new to it, here's what we do. I give a statement. Jake and I go back and forth whether we buy it or it's bull bleep. You ready?
Okay. Yep.
Statement number one. The Indianapolis Colts will win the AFC South. Buy it or bull bleep?
Derek, I hate to say it. I think it's bull Schultz. I do think they're good. I mean, I think good is maybe I'm going too far. I think they have the pieces to be competitive and be good. I do like Carson Wentz. I do. And I think Jonathan Taylor's dynamic. But I think they've dug themselves too big a hole with a couple of obstacles that are too tough to overcome. Everything has to go their way from here on out.
For sure. I'm going to say yes, because I'm the conductor of the Colts surge train, A. Okay. But B, and I think this is important, if the Colts go 5-1 in the division, and obviously that would mean beating Tennessee, you'd take out the head-to-head tiebreaker and you would take out the division tiebreaker. So I believe the next tiebreaker is AFC record. One advantage where the Colts have is that two of their four losses so far have been to NFC teams. In Seattle and the Rams. And their two toughest games left are Tampa Bay and Arizona. So you could probably get away with losing those games. If both teams tie 10-7, I think the Colts would actually
be... Do the Colts still play Buffalo?
Yes.
Okay.
I think the Colts and the Bills play the Titans tonight.
Right.
We're taping this on Monday. I think there's a chance that the Colts would be in an advantageous tiebreaker position. But again, Jake, there's no room for... You can't stub your toe against Jacksonville, right? Which they always do. So you got to be careful there. Purdue will finish with 8 wins or more. Biter bull bleep. God, they should be 5-1.
They're at 4-2, right?
Yeah, they should. They had no business losing that Minnesota game.
Let's do with Purdue.
That's
pulling up
Purdue
their schedule right now.
Purdue always does. They always. Jake Morris and I were having this discussion about how they always have these big wins and then they have this game. Like, what? They lost this game?
Let's
how did this
do
happen?
With Purdue, Derek, what we just did with in the NFL.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you their schedule real quick, and you tell me just instinctively win or loss.
Okay.
They are currently 4-2, correct?
4-2, yes. Halfway through the season.
Okay. Here is the remaining schedule for Purdue. Hosting Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin's really not very good. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say win, even though I hesitate with that because of Wisconsin's history against them.
At Nebraska.
I'm going to say loss.
Okay. Hosting Michigan State.
Win. I don't think Michigan State's as good as what they're advertised as.
At Ohio State.
Loss.
Hosting Northwestern.
Win.
Hosting Indiana.
Win.
That puts them
at 8. That's 4, right? Yeah, 8-4.
That'd be a good year.
Yeah, that'd be a great year. And a really important year for the Jeff Brohm era to get on that trajectory look, remember you gave me this big contract? I'm going to pay you back for it.
You're right about that.
But it's a good team, and they have... You know, Karlaftis and Bell, they have two very, very good players, elite-level players that they can put on offense and defense.
I'm going to say they finished 6-6.
Even that, I think, that was my bar for them in the preseason.
Right.
Just get back to a bowl game. If they could go 7-6, I would take that. But I think with where you are now, you get hungry for more than that, right?
Well, I understand.
So, statement three, chocolate is overrated. Biter bowl bleep.
Are we talking all-encompassing?
I think I was thinking more like Halloween candy and
chocolate. Dark chocolate?
I love dark chocolate. My wife hates it.
White chocolate?
I love white chocolate,
too.
I actually love dark chocolate. And white better than milk chocolate.
Yeah, I love white chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Girls used to call me that.
Okay.
Smooth, tasty.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I like all the chocolates from our friends at DeBrand Fine Chocolates.
Oh, yeah.
Is chocolate overrated? Bull Schultz. I think chocolate is properly rated.
Yeah, that's what I was going to kind of say. Like, I don't... There's a lot
of
stuff.
I think dark chocolate's a little much.
There's a lot of food stuff that's overrated. Like everybody puts... I feel like, and this is going to sound sacrilege, I feel like bacon can be overrated.
I don't disagree with that.
Like, I like bacon just for bacon. I don't need it on every sandwich.
Do you remember when we worked at our old place of employment and they had Bacon Fest and Don Stuck played his guitar?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Don's a wonderful guitarist.
I love Don.
I do too.
He's a loyal friend.
And he's a talented musician.
One of my favorite people.
But they had the amp a little high.
It was so loud. Yeah. It was so loud.
You and I were supposed to give announcements. You were supposed to announce like
no one could hear him. No one could hear us. And I like to think we project pretty loud.
There was a lot of feedback.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
We had some sound problems, which is funny because we worked for a radio company and they somehow couldn't get the sound right at that place.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
But that's it for today.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a good show, I feel like. There's a couple things we have to grab in post, like you saying, love that play, is next, when we talked about it being in that segment. But outside of that, pretty much mistake-free.
I want you to build this as a tease, so don't say it now because you don't even know the answer to it. But our next show, which would be show 58.
Yep.
Who's the best 58?
Gary Brackett?
He's the first one I thought of, but that is an anniversary show.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Just think about it.
A 90-minute retrospective.
That's right.
Of
show 58.
Jake Corey.
We'll do that next week, right?
Well, no. We're going to have our regular show.
Well, I know.
We'll mention that in passing.
Okay.
Yeah, that you almost passed.
I just said, Derek, and the art of the tease. You're supposed to tease.
Oh, everybody knows what that is.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's actually this week. All
the people that watch this show, it's the weirdest thing. And whatever.
I didn't even mention it.
It helps me stay relevant, I guess. But they're all just obsessed with everything that you do. So we can't even tease anything like that because it was a year ago today. We almost lost our Jake. okay, man. Calm down. He's fine.
Yeah.
Just relax.
But let's see you go through it. I hope you don't.
I felt like I did because, God, everybody's blowing up my phone. I'm like, I'm trying to watch Indiana Penn State. Leave me alone. He's fine, okay?
Okay.
They got him hooked to machines. He'll be cool.
Okay.
Thanks to our crew here.
Thank you for your sensitivity.
Jake Morris, Greg Rakestraw. We're back with more next week on Aquarian Schultz.
They've got him hooked to machines.
ISC Sports
He's
Network.
Fine.
See ya.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for. You were built for it. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
Hey, I'm Jeff Saturday, and my favorite thing when I was a professional football player was Indiana. The Hoosier State always made me feel like family. That's why I trust Indiana's hometown mortgage lender, Bailey & Wood. This family-owned company not only gives back to the communities they serve, but also with their five-star customer service, they can close on your dream home in days, not weeks. So remember, Indiana, you can always get your mortgages at a snap with Bailey & Wood.
Hey, Jeff, how does this look?
Yay! Not bad, bud, but let's stick to mortgages.
Indiana dairy farmers provide us with safe, pure food for our tables. A responsibility that takes intuition, resolve, and determination to make sure their milk is good for you and delicious to taste. Their connection with our community runs deep, passed down through the generations, ensuring that milk is always available at your store. It's not easy being a dairy farmer, but the rewards have special meaning when you can feed Indiana's families every single day. Learn more at winnersdrinkmilk.com.
It's here. The moment that will define you. So think of this moment as your moment. The one you've been waiting for.
you were built for. And so were we. WGU, the online university where ambition never rests.
Meet Kate. She has a lot to juggle. Family, work, it can lead to trying days and tired nights. But we know Kate, and at Indiana Members Credit Union, we know at some point, her space at a premium life may change. IMCU is here to help Kate and you find your space. Now, add on or remodel with an introductory rate of 1.9% APR on a home equity line of credit. Today, it's all about Kate. Tomorrow, it's all about you. Because at IMCU, it's you that matters.